again with me to chapter 3, the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. For time's sake, we'll just read verses 10 and 11 for our service tonight. If you remember, I began a message on the last days, and we've already given you two parts to that, and we're proceeding tonight with part number 3. I thought when I was proceeding through this chapter that we might have just tonight's service, but as I was studying through this, I had my outline and the Lord changed it. And he gave me something else here in this chapter that I had somehow missed when I was studying it. But the Lord has His way of just bringing it back to your mind. It's a powerful thought tonight. We're going to be reading a lot of Scripture. I don't do that a lot when I preach. But tonight, by the way, there's power in the Word of God. So don't ever get bored with somebody who reads a lot of Scripture. Because when you read a lot of Scripture, you God's breath is on this book, folks. And it's the power of God. And so tonight we are proceeding with the message on the last days, taken out of verse number 1, part number 3 tonight. Let's begin our reading in verse number 10. Now this is Paul speaking to young Timothy. And he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me," verse 12, "yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Now let's pray together, and we're proceeding with this thought on the last days. Father, help us tonight. Bless this Bible study. May you be honored, glorified, and praised, and obeyed tonight. Forgive my sin. Help me to be a clean vessel. Lord, please, may nothing hinder you and your blessed Spirit. Remove it. Forgive me. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it is evident as we read down through chapter number 3 that we are living in the last days. Now, the last days is a phrase that summarizes from the ascension of Jesus Christ until He comes back, if you will, to rapture His church. Now, that being the case, I cannot get bogged down with any of this, so let me just tap it on the head and go on. The first thing that we dealt with in two separate sermons was we dealt with the last days climate. Now, we brought out in that verses 1 through 9 and all of this list of what the Apostle Paul said would be the spiritual climate of the day in the last days. Things like truce breakers and heady and high-minders and lovers of pleasures. We've already looked at all this, so if you missed that, you can go back on the website and you can download it or you can order it from us. We'd be happy to get that to you. But tonight we come to the second thing on the last days. Not only the last day's climate, but number 2, I want to look at the last day's challenge and comfort. Now, this is the point that I missed, and I don't know how I missed it at first, but it's amazing how the Lord had me divide the first topic into two sermons, and then when I come back to study this passage, He showed this to me. It's amazing. And what we see here in verses 10 through 12, we see that Paul is challenging this young preacher. And he's comforting him at the same time. Now let's look at this together. Now, as we come to these verses, starting with verse number 10, we're reminded again of the long list of characteristics of people in the last days through verse number 9. Then Paul turns his attention to his own life and begins to say some things that are an encouragement, a challenge, and a help for Timothy as he, as a young preacher, is considering the last days. Now, in verse number 10, Paul mentions to Timothy that he knew about his testimony and how he was trying to live a godly life. Now, in this, Paul said, "Timothy, there's some things about me that you are well acquainted with." He's saying, you know, and notice these things he says. He said, "You have fully known my doctrine." You know what that word doctrine means? It means teaching. He's saying, you know what I've taught. You know what I've given out to others. He said, you've fully known the second thing here, my manner of life. He's saying, you have known my lifestyle. You have seen with your own eyes that I'm trying to live a godly life. Then he says, you've fully known my purpose. He's saying, Timothy, you understand why I'm living today. You know what my purpose in life is. It's to get the gospel out. It's to know Jesus Christ and make him known. That's all found in Philippians chapter 3. He said, you've fully known my faith. That word faith means my reliance upon Christ. He's saying, you have seen that I'm not relying on my good works. I'm not relying on church attendance. I'm relying on Jesus Christ. He's saying, you've fully known my long suffering. That means patience and fortitude. In other words, he's saying here, you have seen that I'm a patient man. And you have seen that nothing is going to move me. Now, he sounds confident here, but it's not in himself, it's in his Lord. Stay with me. He says, you've known my charity. The word charity means my love. He says, you've known my patience. That word means cheerful or hopeful endurance. In other words, he's saying here, as a matter of fact, hold your place here and flip to the book of Philippians with me just a moment. Let me show you something here. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Now, I told you going to be reading a lot of scripture, so I hope that you don't mind that. Philippians 1, verses 12 through verse number 21, talking about his patience. Now, notice what he says here. He says, But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. He's saying this, there's people preaching Christ, and sometimes they're only trying to do it to get under my skin. I'm in bonds. But he says, the only thing I know is I'm rejoicing because Jesus Christ is being proclaimed. Verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, there it is, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know what you see in that text? You see his patience come shining through. You see his hopeful endurance. He was enduring some hard things, but he was enduring them with hope and with cheer. He goes on to say in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, you have fully known, verse 11, you've known my persecutions and my afflictions. These words mean that you've known my suffering, Timothy. You know fully well the pain that I've gone through, and you know fully well the hardship that I've gone through. Then he starts to identify this. Now, by the way, I told you this is a powerful thought. I've not gotten to it yet. Then he says this. He says, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. And then he adds, what persecutions I endured. But of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now, let's look at these and just see what he had in mind. When you think about Antioch, you have to turn back to the book of Acts chapter 13. Now flip back with me just a minute to Acts chapter 13, beginning with verse number 14. He says, Timothy, now what he's doing, keep in mind, where is Paul writing the book of 2 Timothy from? Is he in a palace somewhere? No, he's in the prison. Don't you remember the picture I showed you? He's in a prison. And yet in the midst of this, he is sitting on death row. He is getting ready to be martyred for his Christian faith. So he is writing with all of his heart to this young preacher. And he's saying, Timothy, in chapter 3, the last days have come. And I'm going to show you the climate of it. We've already looked at that. That's the list that we went through, verse 9. Then he said, What I want to do, young Timothy, is I want to challenge you and I want to comfort you with some things. He said, you have fully known, and he gave them that list. And when he got to the persecutions, he started identifying them. Now in Acts chapter 13, verse 14, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Now that was a bad thing to say when Paul's sitting in the congregation. Amen or not? Then Paul stood up, beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. Wouldn't you like to have been there? The Apostle Paul steps up and says, I got something I want to say. That's powerful. Think about that thought right there, folks, honestly. Verse 17, The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. When he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, whom also he gave testimony and said, I found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I'm not he. But behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I'm not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep, and he was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest thou come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Now here we go. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. So notice he's telling Timothy, this is later in life, he's saying, remember Timothy, you know fully well what I went through at Antioch. And what he's saying in this place is where I preached a sermon pointing people to faith in Jesus Christ. As a result of this, many of the Jews were filled with envy and they spoke against me and they contradicted and they blasphemed. Then they stirred up devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and they started raising persecution against me and against Barnabas and they kicked us out of town. Then he goes on and he says, you remember what happened to him at Iconium? So we pick up our reading in Acts chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium, and they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony of the Lord of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also the Jews, with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. He's saying this. He's saying, you remember Timothy. Now again, he's sitting in a jail cell getting ready to be martyred. But he's just reminding this young preacher something. Saying, you know fully well what happened to him at Antioch. They kicked us out of town. We went to Iconium. We shook the dust off our feet against the enemies in Antioch. And me and Barnabas went to Iconium, Timothy. And here they spoke and led a great multitude to Christ. We led people to Jesus. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, insomuch that in the midst of that great revival, if you will, they began to assault us and against us, and they tried to stone us. So their words in Antioch have now gone to war in Iconium. Then he says, but it didn't stop there, Timothy. You remember what happened to me at Lystra. So we pick up our reading in Acts chapter 14, verse 6. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. When the people saw that Paul had done what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, or whatever you call it there, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. They called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with good and gladness. With these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. He started out and said, You understand all these things that I've gone through. You know my doctrine. You know my manner of life. You know my purpose and my faith and my long suffering and my charity and my patience and my persecutions and afflictions. And I'm just going to characterize some of them. At Antioch, whenever they kicked us out of town. At Iconium, when they assaulted us verbally and they were going to try to kill us. But then at Lystra, don't you remember, Timothy, that they did stone me. And they did carry me out as somebody that's dead. Then he mentions all the persecutions. And folks, we could stop right there, but if you'll flip over with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Now, I told you I'm going to read a lot, and I'm keeping my word. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, this is all kind of introductory thoughts under this point. I'm going towards a main thought here in just a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. What was some of the things that Paul went through? What were some of these persecutions and some of these afflictions? Paul speaking says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I'm more. In labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure. In prisons, more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils by mine own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, hunger and thirst, fastings often, cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. Who is weak, am I not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory the things which concern mine infirmities. Stay in the same book of the Bible, but flip back to the book of to chapter 4 with me just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 5. We're looking at these persecutions, these afflictions, these troubles that he went through, that he's testifying to Timothy about while he's sitting on death row. Verse number 5 of chapter 4. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. But we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Flip back to the book of 1 Corinthians. This will be the last place I think I have you turn, I believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 9. The Bible says, "For I think that God has set forth the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. We are made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, unto men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger, thirst, we're naked, we're buffeted, we have no certain dwelling place. We labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We're made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day." I want to ask you a question, folks. These are not all the things that Paul went through. But would you agree that he had a pretty bad life? I'm talking about when you look at it among what the world would call success, which really is not what success is. But would you agree with me that Paul had it pretty hard? At Antioch, he was having a great meeting and they kicked him out. At Iconium, he was just simply running away, if you will. He was running in the will of God. He wasn't a scaredy cat, but he went to another place and he saw that persecution in Antioch as an opportunity to get the gospel out of Iconium. And when he got there, yes, he had a great meeting. People were trusting Christ, but then the persecution turned up a little bit and they spake of they were going to try to stone him. He found out about it. So he went off. And he went to another place. He went to Lystra. And he went there and he performed a great miracle. And they even started to bow down to him. And he came in and said, "No, I'm not a god. I'm a man like anybody else. Serve Jesus Christ. Serve the God of Israel. He is the Lord." And as a result of his stand for Jesus Christ, they take him out and they do stone him. And they think he's dead. Among all that, he talks about all these care of the churches and 5 times 40 stripes save one. He suffered a horrendous beating from the Jews. He was cold. He was naked. He was alone, humanly speaking. He was distressed and perplexed and persecuted. And he's saying to this young man, "I want you to remember what I've gone through. What's his purpose? What is he doing?" You wouldn't think that young Timothy would be sitting back saying, "Glory to God, look what's in my future." He was doing something here. You know what he was doing? Listen to me, please. In verse number 12, he says, Timothy, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He is letting this young preacher know that if he lives a godly life in the last days, in this ungodly climate, that he was going to be persecuted. He wanted Timothy to know that the dedicated Christian life was not going to be smiled upon by the world. They hated Jesus Christ. They hated Paul. And he wanted Timothy to know there are no exceptions. In all of this, this challenges me. Paul is telling Timothy, will you accept the challenge? Will you be the one who will stand in the midst of this evil climate? And will you hold true to Jesus Christ, knowing that if you do, they're going to beat you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to mock you. They're going to belittle you. I'm challenging you, boy. Accept the challenge. He's saying, will you be identified as one who will live godly in Christ Jesus? And he's saying, if you do, it's not going to be easy. Do you see that? But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop. Now, if he stopped there, it may scare the liver out of Timothy. By the way, let me tell you why teenagers today, a lot of them don't open their mouth in public school, because they're afraid of persecution. Amen. They're afraid that somebody might look at them as some kind of a weirdo. I'll guarantee you one thing, when you get to see Jesus Christ face to face, you'll be glad the world called you a weirdo. Amen. But the powerful thought that comes out here is not only his challenge, but he makes a statement. Powerful. This is where the comfort comes in. Look at the latter part of verse number 11. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. You know what that word delivered means? It means he rescued me. It means he came in and he took care of business. This was not only a challenge to Timothy to accept the challenge that he ought to live a godly life in the midst of verses 1 through 9, the climate. This young preacher should say, I'm going to live for God. If he did, Paul said, listen, you're going to be persecuted. It's going to be hard. There's going to be afflictions. There's going to be all these other kind of things. And you know fully well because you've seen my life, Timothy. Do you see the heart of this man? But he said, I want you to be aware of something. It may not be easy. And it may hurt. But the Lord will see you through every bit of it. He's comforting this young man. He wanted this preacher to know that if you accept the challenge to live a godly life, there will be people who persecute, but God is bigger than that. The God you serve is much bigger than anything the world can throw at you, Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, understand this. It is not going to be easy. It is hard. It is persecutions. It is afflictions. Notice he didn't say the good things that I've got. No, he said, you know fully well my persecutions. You know fully well my afflictions. You heard his own language. We're cold. We're naked. We're destitute. We're distressed. I'm in trouble on every side. Yes, it was coming in on him. But he made it clear. He said, God stepped up in my need and he delivered me out of every single thing I went through. He's comforting this preacher and he's saying, if you accept this challenge, Yes, I know they're dangerous. Yes, I know they're full of wrath. Yes, I know that they'd like to cut your head off. But God is bigger than them. And He can deliver you any time He sees fit. That's what he's telling this preacher. And this night, we all need to accept this challenge that the old soldier of the cross by the name of the Apostle Paul, sitting in a Roman jail cell, awaiting his own execution, he's getting ready to make his statement, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. He's nearing the end. And Paul is now beholding the face of Jesus Christ. And yet his voice, because God's inspired word has used this, is still resounding from that prison cell many years ago. Can you hear his voice tonight? There are traitors. There are those who are heady and high-minded and blasphemers and those who don't care about God and don't care about you. And you have in the pages of God's Word what I went through, these persecutions, all these entrapments, all these afflictions, all these things I went through. And I want you to know, Paul sitting in a Roman jail cell, God's been good to me. God has seen me through every one of them. And I'm going to tell you something, young Timothy, that's us. If you accept the challenge and you live a godly life, no matter if everybody else goes off, are you listening to me? God will see you through just like He saw me through, and He can deliver you just like He delivered me. And I'm telling you tonight, will you accept the challenge in the last days that as all these climb, it just keeps word getting worse and worse and worse, just like the Bible said it would? Men are going to wax worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, but the Christian life is you can live for God if the whole world goes off. And if you live for God as an individual, the God of heaven can deliver you from all of this. That is what he's saying. Psalm 27, 1 through 5. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Psalm 34, 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Psalm 34, 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Powerful tonight. You say, why is it powerful? Because it's the Word of God. That's why it's powerful. And I'm telling you, God has placed in His Word this letter written by one of His soldiers. And by the way, God knew everything that Paul was going through. God understood everything he was going through. And no matter what it was, whether it was the beating, whether it was the stoning, whether it was words, whether it was war, made no difference. God stepped in his life and said, this far and no further, thank you. Amen. And he delivered his preacher from persecutions and afflictions. That doesn't mean they didn't touch him. They did touch him. They hurt him, but they couldn't destroy him. They killed him, but he's speaking to us tonight. Let me tell you why. Because in the midst of an ungodly generation in the last days, Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. God stepped over the portals of glory and ushered him through his life and finally took him to himself. It is well worth giving your life to Jesus Christ. Let the world throw anything they want to throw. Our God will see to it that nothing happens to us that doesn't pass through His hand first. Do you believe that tonight or not? Then if you do, comfort. The Lord delivered me out of all of it. But it all starts with, will you accept the challenge? I will stand alone if I need to. That's what God wants at Buffalo Ridge. Amen. The last days, this is part three, and we're not done yet. May God keep working in my heart through this chapter. May He keep working on yours. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we love You tonight. I pray that You'll help us. God, help us all to accept the challenge that the Apostle Paul is giving young Timothy and to understand the comfort that comes along with it. That if you live this way, God will deliver you out of all of it. Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Do you know the Lord? Have you been saved? Do you know Jesus Christ? If you've never trusted Christ and Christ alone, I invite you to come tonight. Let us take a Bible, share with you how you can go to heaven when you die by trusting Christ and Christ alone, inviting Him into your heart to forgive your sin. On top of that, I'd like to ask one question. Now, I'm not asking, and with this question, please don't play games. All I want you to be is be honest. Just be honest. Have you say, Jody, I hear this message. I see this challenge from the Apostle Paul. That in context, he's talking in verses 1 through 9 about this ungodly climate of the day and how people are this and that and ungodly here and wicked there. But yet in the midst of it, there's a challenge for me to live right. There's a challenge for me to live a godly life. And I see the comfort that comes along with it, that out of them all, God delivered him. How many of you be honest and say, Jody, I'm not playing games. I'm not going to raise my hand because you're looking. God knows my heart. But as I sit in my seat, I want the Lord to know, not that you have to inform Him of anything, but you want Him to know that you accept the challenge that the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is giving. You are saying, I accept the challenge that if nobody else lives a godly life, I want God to be pleased with me. If you say, now I know this is a very general question, but it's also a very personal question. Have you say, Jody, I want to commit myself tonight to accept this challenge of living godly in Christ Jesus. Come persecutions, comes afflictions, whatever. And may the Lord help my eyes to rest upon Him, realizing that He can deliver me out of it all. Be honest. You say, Jody, that's my heart. That's what I really want to do. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, that's really what I want to do. God bless you. I hope you mean that. I really do. I'm going to pray. Matter of fact, I'm going to have Brother Gary, if you wouldn't mind, to come to the platform here. He's already here. Come to the pulpit. And I want to solidify what you raised your hand about tonight. As he prays out loud, I want you to pray there at your seat and say, God, I accept the challenge. Help me to live godly in Christ Jesus in these last days. help me to trust you to protect me. And he will. As Brother Gary comes to pray, you pray right there at your seat. Would you please?
Lord, as we close the service tonight, I'm ashamed of what deters me from serving you. Lord, I've never had to face the thing the Apostle Paul faced, and yet so often I'm afraid to stand for you, to give a witness, to give a tract, to give a godly life. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us all during the remainder of this week, the remainder of our lives, Lord, to be willing to be persecuted, be willing to give whatever it takes, Lord, to serve you faithfully. And Lord, help us to realize that through it all, if it's your desire, you can deliver us, you can bring us through it. Lord, help us to get serious about living this Christian life. Lord, there's a lost world that's dying all around us, and we're doing very little to keep them from going to hell. And Lord, somehow help us. Help us, I pray, to get serious about living the Christian life and trying to get others to live it too. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess you're dismissed.